At the Crystal Coast, you'll find unrivaled beauty and the perfect vacation for everyone in the family. Choose the 85 miles of beaches and 11 waterfront towns on North Carolina's uncrowded coast. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance still, after all these years. On this August 1st, can you believe it, folks? August 1st, this summer is flying by, I'm telling you. And this program goes flying by, too. And tonight we have, as our producer, the mighty Seth.
Hello, hello, good evening.
Already. And we have here, Jay Caller, Cacklin' Rose, none other than Little Lisa in the studio. It's the studio marm.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder, a man of great repute, a man who's a statesman, a man of honor, a man of integrity.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
None other than Big John McTernan.
Thank you for a nice introduction, Pastor Ernie, and may God bless you and our listeners, and we'll have a great show.
Yeah. You know, I see, we'll get into it a little bit later. It looks like the Muslims are trying to take over Texas big time, and your governor doesn't seem to know it. Well, we'll talk about that later. But our scripture tonight, you know, here's what I believe I'm going to be preaching on. And the Lord changed it up from what I was going to preach on. But I think I'm going to be preaching on a sinful city with sinful dwellers, and a sinless city with sinless dwellers. And we're going to take a look at, did you ever notice how the cities, it seems like sin and crime, everything seems to gravitate right to the cities? And every major city in the United States, did you ever notice who the mayors are and the city council members? John, what do you think?
I didn't know you were talking to me, Pastor Ernie. It's all Democrats.
Yeah, but we're going to take a look at what else gravitates towards the city. There's a lot of things that gravitates towards the city, and hardly any of them is any good. But anyhow, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 17 and read through Revelation 19, verse 5. So you ready to go?
The minute. Okay, we're starting in Revelation chapter 17, you said.
Yep. And what we'll do, I'll tell you what, I'll read a verse, you read a verse, and we'll comment along the way as we feel necessary, okay?
Okay.
And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Of course, that great whore is Babylon, the one world government. But there's three different parts of Babylon, Babylon the Great. And here, so he's talking about the one that sits upon many waters, meaning many, many people, many nations. Go ahead and pick it up on verse 2.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
What is the one thing that for many, many years, that many theologians say in particular? Now, of course, we know it's the world system, the Antichrist world system. But when you take a look at the three parts of Babylon, you've got the political system, you've got the economic system, and then you got the religious system, all three parts. And it's an interesting thing because here, all three of those were housed in New York City at 9/11, remember? And it was how interesting it was, the World Trade Centers, the economic, and then you had in the United Nations building, you have the political and the religious, because housed within the United Nations building was the Council of Religions, World Council of Religions. And this is why New York City's been called Babylon, for a long time. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And of course, we know those referred to kings or leaders and nations. Go ahead, John.
Verse 4?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
Go ahead and comment on that.
Well, what's interesting, see, with the human eye, this beast here looks incredible. Purple and scarlet color, gold, precious stones, and pearls, but and holding a golden cup, but in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness for her fornications. So what the world thinks is beautiful and breathtaking and all, the God, when you get underneath all that veneer on the surface, it's full of abominations, filthiness, and sin.
And then, all through Scripture, it's an interesting thing how wicked and adulterous and evil things often referred to as her, the great whore is the great whore, and of course, but not in all cases, even in some places in the Bible, the male leaders of some of these countries are referred to as whores too. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And so, what's an interesting thing, if you notice throughout the Bible, whether it's the marks of the beast or if it's the mark of the Lord God, we'll all have a name written in our foreheads, okay? And here, of course, the Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. Go ahead and read verse 6.
Well, Pastor Ernie, when you look at verse 4, it says, and filthiness of her fornication.
Yeah.
Fornication. And then in 5, it says, the mother of harlots. So what we have, I think we have two things going on. One is one of the major sins of the tribulation period is going to be actual physical fornication. and everything that goes with it. But also, God looks at spiritual fornication with idols and paganism and and everything that goes with it. So there is a spiritual fornication when people get involved in idolatry.
Well, this is what we talk about all the time. I'm sitting here, not just idolatry, but when they sell their very souls for power. I'm sitting here with an article in front of me. Misconduct Department of Justice files complaint against the Trump judge for undermining nation's judiciary here when it comes to this James Boasberg, an anti-Trump federal judge who already had been described as a threat to the rule of law, now is the target of complaint filed by the Department of Justice accusing him of undermining the nation's judiciary. Well, here, this guy, time after time, he managed to be the one who handles Trump's cases. Now, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. You know, these judges aren't supposed to be, but this guy kept catching, and this guy was selling him, this judge, this James Boasberg, he was selling himself out to the deep state. He was not abiding by the law. He was breaking the law, okay? You and I understood what the word district means. If I say, John, you're in charge of this district, and you were in charge when you were a special agent, that's got a perimeter. Now,
yes, it has limitations, absolutely.
But with these guys, they know that it's even, they break the law, they break the very law that they're supposed to be keeping, and they go out of their jurisdiction, and, here, and that's exactly what he's doing. So here in Hosea and in Ezekiel, it refers to these leaders that were doing that, that were corrupted. It refers to them as going whoring, and then it refers to them as whores. So we often say here that some whores wear miniskirts and others wear black robes today. We have a very, very major problem in our judicial system in this country, don't we?
It's the problem, Pastor Ernie, is we've had two terms of Clinton, two terms of Obama, one term of Biden, and they've appointed a lot of judges, Pastor Ernie. And that one judge, Supreme Court Judge Jackson.
Yeah, oh, she's a bad one.
I'll never forget that senator at our hearing before the Senate to become approved as a judge. The Senator Blackburn from Tennessee asked Jackson, how do you define a woman? And Jackson's response was, I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
So you have all sorts of people like that being appointed as judges.
Yeah. And, it's an interesting thing because here just in the news just before we came on, they were talking about the latest poll that was taken, finding out that the Republicans and Democrats not only are different in their political views, but on facts. They have a difference in facts. And that's what they mentioned is when facts like, what is a woman? I say the Republicans know what a woman is, the Democrats don't. And so we know, like you and I, we know what a Republican is. The Democrats, they don't. They don't know what a Democrat is. But we do, don't we?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, the Bible talks about them. It says, thinking themselves wise, they become fools.
Yeah.
And if you cut the veneer off these Democrats, they think they're geniuses. They think that they're just absolutely wonderful and all. And yet they want to kill babies wholesale. They want to turn little boys into girls. They want the border wide open. They want to destroy the economy. And yet they think that they are such quality and such wonderful. And they're exactly what the Bible says, thinking themselves wise, they become fools.
You know, did you ever notice, too, no matter what God's word the Bible teaches as normal, as they teach the opposite. Whatever,
exactly right.
Whatever stand, pardon?
No matter what, Pastor Ernie, they are the exact opposite, which makes them antichrist.
Yeah, absolutely. And you start out by saying, in Genesis, where we say God created and the heavens and the earth, then they say there is no God, that evolution. And of course, the Bible says that the fool saith in his heart, there is no God, right?
Absolutely correct.
And so, let's pick it up in verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. And of course, that's simply, and we're going to get to that here in a minute, but go ahead and pick it up in verse 8.
And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is.
You know what? And it goes on to say, too, that that beast will be the eighth. Now, at that time this was written, remember, this was written, you had the sixth leader of the empire, the Roman Empire at that time. And here, Nero Caesar was the fifth. And Nero Caesar was, and now he's not. He's dead. But he's talking about, obviously not, it's got, not going to be the very same person, but it's going to be the spirit, the Antichrist spirit. But he goes in and he says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Well, there's two major cities in the world that have, that sit on seven mountains, or you can call them seven hills. And do you know which those two are?
Well, I know one is Rome, Pastor Ernie, for sure, because Rome is referred to as the city of seven hills. But the second one, I do not know.
Jerusalem. Jerusalem has okay. seven hills. Seven. Well, I wouldn't call them. Well, you might call Mount Olives mountain, you know, but they're just short of being, I would say, mountains. They're hills. And the beast that was and is not, he is even the eighth and of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And again, many theologians believe that's referring to Nero Caesar, the spirit of Nero Caesar. Go ahead and pick her up. Verse 12.
And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast.
Now these have one mind, and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast.
I like verse 14, Pastor Ernie, because verse 14, right in the middle of all this satanic power and all, it says, and these shall make war with the Lamb. These are these ten kings.
Yep.
And it's, look, as soon as they come to power, it says, and they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now listen to this. And they that are with him, that's at the Lord at his coming. That's us, Pastor Ernie.
Yep.
Are called and chosen and faithful.
Yeah, well, we'll see that over in Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, yes. And then
yes.
Coming back in Zechariah chapter 14. And so he goes on, and he says, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Go ahead.
And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire.
Well, you see, again, this is a part of the same thing, the system. And it's referring to here, now the whore is referring to, is the religious system, the world religious system, the political and the economic will turn upon the religious system. Today, you know, they're working in a confederacy, just like, you know, all the human trafficking, the child sex trafficking. You know, you had all of these places like Lutheran charities, Catholic charities, Jewish charities, all involved with that. They were all involved with that, and the government. Under Biden, the federal government of the United States was the world's largest child sex trafficking outfit. And that's all coming out. We've been talking about that and talking about that and talking about it. But, and the 10...
Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
It just came out in the news that these raids here in Houston on the illegal aliens... That in the last, I think it's a month, they've arrested over 200 illegal aliens for sex crimes with children.
Wow. I mean, yeah. You know, they've taken a recent drop in murder rates, and it's right proportionate with all of the convicted murderers and rapists that Trump has been sending out of the country. They're going after the worst first, okay? The ones with the worst records is the ones they've been arresting and deporting. And so, and we're already seeing it drop, but you're sure not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
No. No. They seem to want to protect them.
Oh, absolutely. The entire Democratic Congress, you've got that senator from, was it Maryland? What's his name? Having the sit-ins, they actually come out and said, we don't have enough of those criminals. We don't really have enough.
Right. This is the world upside down. Look, sin has destroyed their thinking, Pastor Ernie. To them, good is evil and evil is good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The federal government is evil because of trying to get rid of all these criminal aliens that Joe Biden allowed into the country. We're evil now.
He didn't allow. He brought them in. He flew them in.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did. Those Venezuelans were flown in. Yeah, so the federal government is evil now. And these people, these governors and mayors and senators, they are wholesome. They are so loving and kind. That they want murderers kept in, they're walking the streets, and rapists, and drug dealers, and child pornography. They're criminals. That's why they want to protect criminals.
Not only that, they want to. They've been working. The ACLU has been working to try to legalize pedophilia. They want to make molesting children legal.
You're absolutely right.
Well, actually, it really is. I mean, abortion is the worst kind of child molestation. All right, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Verse 18.
And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Okay, and that's... Again, there's so much there were, when you look at Revelation 18, I mean, you see exactly what happened on 9/11 in New York City. It's just absolutely amazing how, and when I watched, when 9/11, I just happened to be watching the news when the first plane flew into the trades, and this chapter came right to my mind. As soon as I saw this, it came right to my mind there, New York. Anyhow, listen, do you want to hear, you're talking about lying tongues. Do you want to hear someone for 4.5 minutes, someone who, well, is the hero of the far left? She is going to tell you solid lies for 4.5 minutes, and listen to this, even though right now it's all come out, but take her away, Seth.
I think that there is a lot to investigate, and I'm personally very grateful that somebody of the stature of Robert Mueller would be there conducting this investigation. He's a totally straight arrow guy. I mean, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. And I really believe that he will be honest and transparent and tell us whatever it is he finds. But as I say in the book, and I try to explain what bothers me, there's just too many connections to be called just coincidences. Mm-hmm. There just are. And, you know, some of it is financial entanglements, and some of it is hunting for, you know, negative information about me, and some of it is calling, you know, people and trying to hide the connections and the meetings and the calls and all of that. All of that has gone on. Now, there's a lot of smoke, and whether or not there's fire, we need to figure it out. But here is what's important. Put the investigation into Trump, his associates, and everybody else to one side. There is no denying mm-hmm. that the Russians interfered in the election.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they had willing or unwitting help from the Trump team, they interfered, and they did so to help him and hurt me, and they did so to destabilize our democracy, and they have not stopped.
What's not clear from your book is whether you think that the Trump campaign was colluding in this.
We don't know the answer to that. That is part of what is being explored. There are some serious questions, because what happened when the emails of my campaign manager, John Podesta, were stolen by the Russian intelligence services. Then they were conveyed to WikiLeaks, which is basically now a mouthpiece for Russia authoritarianism. And then they were released on the very same day that the Hollywood Access tape came out showing Trump, you know, bragging about sexual assault. Then they were what we call weaponized, so that they were turned into phony news stories, they were turned into Facebook posts, and then they were targeted at specific voters. The question is, where did the Russians get that kind of targeting information? And, you know, that is one of the unanswered questions that investigators in Congress and the special counsel are looking into.
The Russian government has engaged in espionage against Americans. They have hacked American websites, American accounts of private people, of institutions. Then they have given that information to WikiLeaks for the purpose of putting it on the internet. This has come from the highest levels of the Russian government, clearly from Putin himself, in an effort, as 17 of our intelligence agencies have confirmed, to influence our election. So I actually think the most important question of this evening, Chris, is finally, will Donald Trump admit and condemn that the Russians are doing this and make it clear that he will not have the help of Putin in this election, that he rejects Russian espionage against Americans, which he actually encouraged in the past? Those are the questions we need answered. We've never had anything like this happen in any of our elections before.
I mean, if you're going to let Russia get away with what they did and are still doing, according to Christopher Wray, the current FBI director who said that last week, they're in our election systems. We're worried about 2020, he said. So, hey, let's have a great power contest, and let's get the Chinese in on the side of somebody else.
Why are, you know, other Americans basically believing Putin? Why did Trump believe Putin more than our 11 intelligence agencies?
I don't know. Do you have a working theory?
I do have a working theory. And why is Donald Trump so enamored of Putin? Well, part of it is he's a wannabe dictator. He has told us that repeatedly. He even said the other day, let's basically get out of NATO and, you know, encourage Putin to do what he wants to do. How absurd a statement that is cannot even be, you know, measured, because you are essentially giving a green light to a murderous, brutal dictator.
There you go, John. 4.5 minutes of straight lies. Unbelievable. But here, I got a couple of questions here. Where, you know, when, first of all, Putin had said that the Russians would rather have Hillary because Trump was totally for America and Hillary was totally for sale. And so the question is, where did Russia get that information? Well, my question is, where did Russia get Uranium-1 from?
Right, certainly. Exactly right.
Now, who did that uranium, 25% of the U.S. government's taxpayers' uranium, it belonged to us, the taxpayers, but the Clintons got the money for it, didn't they?
Yeah, she was Secretary of State at that time, Pastor Ernie, and she, the State Department had to agree with the sale. So she agreed with the sale of it, which was huge. And then Bill was ahead of that that fund, Pastor Ernie. What was that fund called?
Oh, I know what you mean, but I'm having brain fog right now.
Yeah, I just can't think of it, the fund. Anyways, all of a sudden, a whole load of money from Russia was donated into that fund, and Clinton went over and spoke in Moscow, and they gave him, Bill Clinton, they gave him $1 million.
Yeah. It's just absolutely amazing, isn't it? Now, you know, and then she mentioned what to have such a guy like Robert Mueller. Well, there was some karma there with Robert Mueller, wasn't there?
Well, he ended up, his mind was gone, like Biden.
Yeah.
I felt bad for the guy. I mean, forget about politics at all. Just the way he was unable to function before that hearing, it was terrible. You know, his mind was gone, Pastor Ernie. He was like a senile old man.
He knew that what he was doing was totally wrong. He was holding, he was lying. It's like all of these people, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they were lying. Now, all of the evidence comes out. You know, we've been talking about this. They've got it now. They found the burn bags. They found the hidden rooms there in the FBI. All of this conversation. In fact, they had the meeting in June of 2000, and when was it, 2017, I believe it was. By the way, that clip we just played was from 2017. And at that meeting, they had everyone there, and they all agreed that what they were going to do with the Trump, this was treason. And this is why when Hillary came out and said, if Trump gets reelected, we're all going to hang, okay? She knew that if he got a hold of that, well, we're going to see. I don't know. Do you think, you know, because we've been waiting for justice for a long time, if they get away with this, it's never going to stop. It'll be worse, okay? There's got to be justice. And by the way, one of those mentioned in there that was financing all of this was George Soros. He was forming the money through into Hillary, and Hillary was putting the money through, paying for all of these other lies and everything. What was it, 51 former intelligence agencies agreed to come out and flat-out lie? And, who was it, the former Secretary of State? You know who I'm talking about.
A black woman.
She was there. No, I'm talking about this latest one. Or was he the ambassador? You know who I'm talking about? Oh, the fellow, he's the one that organized those 51 intelligence agencies.
That was under Biden. I can see his face. But yeah, he ended up with the position of Secretary of State, and he is the one that, you're exactly right. He went around and got all 51 of those intelligence directors to sign off that it was Russian interference.
Yep. And so now, when Chuckie Schumer had put that warning, he said, if Trump, is going to take on the intelligence agencies, in other words, the very, very, very corrupt intelligence agencies, and then they've got six ways to Sunday to get you. And that was kind of like a threat from Chuckie Schumer, don't you think?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, and they did. They did exactly what he said they were going to do.
Yep. So now it's all coming out. Now they're going to, what do you think they're going to do here? I actually have a clip, but I don't think we have time for it tonight with this Powell. But what Powell is going to try to do, the housing industry, the building industry really depends upon those lower interest rates. And Powell is going to try to crash the economy. And I don't know, do you think, now, They claim that there is the recording of him stating he has to do this, but I don't know if that's for real or not. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same with you, Pastor Ernie. I don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that Powell's gonna step down? Hey, I mean.
Well, one of the, I think they're called governors there in the
Treasury.
Federal Reserve.
Federal, yeah.
She just stepped down today.
So that means that she was one from the left, right?
Yes, yeah. And they vote, they vote, Pastor Ernie, behind the scenes. And so she stepped down, and Trump's going to appoint the real conservative, so this here might be turning the tide.
Hopefully, let's see. I hope it does. We definitely,
There's senators, Pastor Ernie, who for the life of me, I just can't think of their name now. But they're calling for an audit of the Federal Reserve.
They've never had one, Pastor Ernie. Yeah.
No. It came into existence in 1913, and from 1913 today, their books are closed. The government, the federal government, has no idea about them. They have no idea, Pastor Ernie. They are answerable only to themselves.
And they print money out of thin air.
Yes, they do.
And they're not, they're
now,
called the...
Now, Pastor Ernie, this is very interesting. But who is in charge? The word that the Constitution uses is coining money. Who's in charge, Pastor Ernie?
The U.S. Treasury.
Exactly.
Congress. Yep.
Exactly. Where does the Federal Reserve come in? It doesn't.
And they're not federal at all. They're a private-owned corporation.
No, they're not federal. No, they're private. They're the major private bankers. In the United States, they're the ones that are, running the Federal Reserve. So they're going to do the best for themselves.
One day I was talking to a liberal, and I told him that, okay? And I said, they're not federal. And He said, of course they're federal. He said, that's why they're called the Federal Reserve. And I said, no, they're not. He said, why would they be called? I said, well, let me ask you this, okay? Why is a foghorn called a foghorn? He didn't have an answer. It's not made out of fog, is it? And so here, but these people out there, I mean, what percentage of the country do you think are today still in la-la land? I mean, we're living in a time where the deception is just unbelievable. And I have to, when I watch these people interview these college kids, you know, I'm just sitting there. You talk about, on one hand, it's like a comedy. On the other hand, it's pitiful. It's sad, but it's just amazing. And these are all college kids that are going to college. You know, I mean, I don't know, John. What do you think?
That's a good case that makes them dumb. They might go in there with some thinking skills and some, you know, knowledge and that, and they spend 4 years in there, and they could come out as, you know, programmed like robots.
When they asked these two girls, who did the United States go to war with during the Civil War, and during the Civil War, and they said Germany, others said England. Okay, I'm thinking this is an amazing thing, right? I mean, these are college kids that they're asking, you know, these things to, and they, you know, also Christopher Columbus. They didn't know who Christopher Columbus was. Okay, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Oh, one of my favorites, they asked him, what large body of water was on the east coast, bordered the east coast of the United States? The east coast, what large body of water? Do you know what the answer was? Lake Erie.
Oh,
goodness.
Lake Erie?
Yeah, yeah. This is amazing, I mean, some of these kids out there. Sometimes I wonder if, you know how much of this, or if these guys go out just to have the fun, and they go ahead and they, you know, feed these kids these answers, or if these kids are really that stupid. Sometimes I'm not sure. But anyhow, we got a lot of things covered tonight. One, starting off tonight, for national security, we need uranium mined in America. Perhaps it's too soon to mark nuclear power's revival in the U.S., but there is a burst of activity that should ultimately yield a new generation of advanced nuclear plants with small modular reactors. This is especially true for major industrial energy consumers, which now also includes data centers, where there is a strong economic incentive to use more nuclear power instead of natural gas and intermittent renewables. In Illinois, Meta recently signed a long-term agreement to buy nuclear power from Constellation's Clinton nuclear plant. The latest in a slew of deals between big tech and nuclear industry. Constellation also said it would restart Three Mile Island Unit 1 in Pennsylvania and sell the power to Microsoft under a 20-year agreement. Google, too, has agreed to fund the development of a small modular reactor, or SMRs as they're called, at three new nuclear sites in Oregon. TVA plans to build SMRs at a clinic and a Clinch River site in Carrows Power, which is a blueprint for advanced molten salt reactor Moreover, Amazon, Google, and Meta signed a pledge in March calling for nuclear energy worldwide to triple by 2050. What do you think of that, John? What do you, nuclear energy?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you know, there's always the danger when you have nuclear energy of leaks and like we had at Three Mile Island and all. So there's always that danger. But here's what's happening, Pastor Ernie. All this talk of AI now, these AI centers draw enormous amounts of electricity.
Why do you think that is? I mean, is it because of a huge increase in the amount of computers being used, or is it these supercomputers themselves that use these outrageous amounts of energy?
Yeah, it's the computers, yeah. But here's the thing also. They need an enormous amount of water to keep them cool. But here's what's happening, Pastor Ernie, and this just broke like within the last 2 weeks. They have to tap into the electric grid that we have now to run these. These are just coming online now. And like in Virginia in particular, the electric rates have gone out of sight, the cost, because the AI centers going online are driving the price of electricity up. So we are not producing more electricity, but we're requiring an enormous amount more as these AI centers come online. It's creating a real, we're right on the verge, I mean right on the verge of a crisis here of electricity, and it's pedal to the metal. They're just opening up more of these centers, so we won't be getting electricity.
So what do you think? A couple of things can happen. One, they can start building, you know, like you said, more of these nuclear power plants, but they're, you know, that takes several years, right?
Yes, it does.
To get them up and get them online. The other thing is you can see more and more people buying generators. Now, you know, where they use natural or gas to run these generators, it might be more efficient for them to do that. But then this should have a huge increase in solar panels and or windmills, but especially solar panels. And that would increase the price of silver, because you know, a lot of silver is used in those solar panels. And so what would happen there? Because actually right now, for as far as I can see, silver is being used up faster than it's being mined. And you know, when you use silver and all of these things, that actually it gets used up to where it's no longer worth anything. What do you think?
Yeah, you see what's happening, Pastor Ernie. You touched upon something very important. This here rush into AI with no planning. Well, maybe it's planned, and what's going on has been planned. But from our perspective, it looks like chaos. What you just said, what they're doing, if you go for solar panels, it's going to drive the prices of them up. It's driving the prices of electricity up. You know, people are going to have to go off the grid and have their own generators, and there'll be millions of them needed, and that's going to drive the prices up. So this here is going to have tremendous, what they're doing, it's going to have tremendous effect on the population here, Pastor Ernie, with not having electricity, the cost of anything involving silver going out of hand, needing to have generators to survive. Yeah, you can see this coming, Pastor Ernie.
Well, it's like out there in the area, of course, you know where I live, we're out in the country, but about everybody out there has got generators nowadays. I mean, you know, because everybody expects, you know, and of course to have, you know, the grid go down. And so I got a feeling that pretty soon a lot of homes, you know, generators going to be just like an air conditioner or a washing machine. It'll be a part of the home. And then, of course, most of them run off natural gas. And so that would probably, of course, America is supposed to be sitting on the world's largest natural gas supply from what we hear. And, but at the same time, nuclear energy is still going to be, would be the cheapest way of producing energy, don't you think?
Well, but nuclear energy, Pastor, is years off. You know, and this stuff is coming online right now.
And they say we're only, I have a little clip, I don't have it with me, but we should play, actually, it's not loaded, but actually I could almost play it off my my little phone here to the mic, but it's about G6. G6 is supposed to be coming online in 2026, next year, in less than a year. And that's supposed to add to all that. So,
and on top of it, Pastor Ernie, Biden was pushing electronic vehicles, which would even draw more electricity from the system. So it looks like with their plans, they're trying to collapse the grid and make us can't function, Pastor Ernie. I mean, if you live like where I live, and you know, along the coast here in southern Texas and New Mexico, Arizona, and other areas too, Louisiana and all, you have to have air conditioning in the summer. Really, you have to.
Yeah, you wonder how people, of course, you know, I did. I lived without air conditioning out in the jungle for a while, but that was when I was young. I don't want to do it now, okay? But, yeah, where you're at down there, it's kind of necessary out there. Well, even here in Ohio, we've had 4 or 5 days in a row of 90-degree weather, over 90 degrees in some cases. We had like 93 degrees several times, but the worst part was the humidity.
Yes.
It was
exactly.
very, very humid.
You're exactly right.
And so, anyhow, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to listen to a little bit what we talked about earlier about all the criminal activity. They've got the information now. They've got all of the evidence. They've got the burn bags. They've got the documentation. I don't know, when are we going to see these arrests take place? Not only that, but the left they're trying to use the Epstein files or whatever to divide the MAGA, the Republicans. They're trying to use this their latest plan. We're going to get them to not to trust Trump. But here, it actually came out that Trump was the one that actually turned Epstein had written down that Trump was the one that sold him out, you know, reported him to the FBI. Of course, Trump didn't realize at the time that Epstein was working with them, okay? But Epstein refers to Trump as the one that ratted him out. So, anyhow, this is interesting. Besides that, if they had had, the Democrats had the entire files all that time, if they'd had anything on Trump, they would have used it by now, believe me. But there's something going on. Who are the innocent people that they're trying to protect? That's the question. All right, we're coming to a break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So do not go away. More to come. A lot more. Be right back after this.